at that point, or they can play on in the background, but it's one of the pieces they're playing that I've selected for us to sing together in our worship this evening. So a warm welcome to the Lord's house this evening here in the congregation, or for those who watch in and listen in on the internet, we're glad to have you with us too as part of our congregation. And we're going to stand and sing. It's number 987, please. 987. And Ruth will call it up there on screen. There are two verses in the book, if you're following in the book, but there's a third verse that appears in our screen version, and we'll sing all three verses this evening. The minister, as he works through the Beatitudes, is coming to the one, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And very often in the scripture, and very often in our hymns, the word mercy is linked with another word. And in this particular lovely piece, it's love and mercy going together. Keep that thought in mind for our little time of praise together this evening. And let's stand now and raise our voices together in this lovely hymn. Lovely words there. Love and mercy. Love and mercy from our God to ourselves. Ours to enjoy when we ask for it. When we ask for His mercy. When we expect His mercy. And we're encouraged, of course, to show that mercy to others too. That we would receive and give as Christian people. Love and mercy has been the pair that went together in that first piece. Turn to 528, please, remaining seated. It's a traditional hymn of praise, but it helps us to put another pair of words together, wrath and mercy. Not such a comfortable pair of words, wrath and mercy. But the Bible tells us clearly and truly that our God cannot look upon sin. When Christ died on the cross, God turned His back on His own Son, for He cannot look upon sin. We would deserve His wrath, but He doesn't treat us that way. Instead, He extends His mercy to us. So it's a wonderful pair in the end, that God's wrath can be set aside and taken away from us, even though we deserve it, because of God's mercy. And 528, O Worship the King. We're going to sing together tonight verse 1, which is a great verse of praise. Verse 2 that reminds us of His wrath. And verse 5 that reminds us of His mercy. Indeed, His mercies, which are always tender and available to us as people. So verse 1, verse 2, and verse 5, please, of 528, remaining seated.
Covered with praise.
How great it is when we can talk about God and talk about His Son, the Lord Jesus, as our Maker, which He is, our Defender, our Redeemer, and our Friend. And when we are His people and have asked Him into our heart, then we can say and know those words to be true. Let's take a couple of verses from a more modern hymn, 509, please. It reminds us that mercy is something we don't just need individually, but we need nationally. And in our nation, sadly, there is plenty of vice and sin, and sadly, too, our government often ignore and actually contradict the laws of our God. And it does us no good, individually or as a nation, to turn our back on our God and His Word. This hymn reminds us of that in the first verse, that there are like storms of sin gathering over the nation, but we cry out to the Lord to have mercy. And when we cry out to our God to have mercy, He offers us mercy with forgiveness. So that's a little pair of words this time. We've had mercy with love, we've had mercy with wrath, and in this one we have mercy with His forgiveness. We cry for His mercy. He offers us His forgiveness. We'll sing the first verse and the last verse. Verse 1 and verse 4, please, of this more modern hymn. Now, one to follow on the screens, it's 1151, 1151 for the musicians, and Ruth can call it up as well on the system for us. Our music group played it this morning, and it brings together the two wonderful words of grace and mercy. And it's the new version of Amazing Grace, where we're singing words from that marvellous hymn of Newton's Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. But we're adding to it the little extra piece that how we can declare that our sins and our chains are gone, not because of anything we've done or deserved, but because of the Lord's mercy. So grace and mercy are brought together in this great piece. We're going to remain seated to sing it and enjoy it and follow it through as it appears with us on the screens. A lovely piece. Enjoy the words as well as the tune as we sing it through together this evening.
guide me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. A precious gift, the grace. Chains are gone, I've been set free. I know my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve, my soul with sun forever to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be
lovely words. So to quickly summarize, we've had love and mercy, we've had wrath and mercy, we've had forgiveness and mercy, we've had grace and mercy, and I'll invite you to stand and join together again in another hymn, and maybe the best known pair of all, goodness and mercy, goodness and mercy. And we turn to the 23rd Psalm, but again we'll sing the modern version of it this evening, please. It's 1008, if you're following in the books, or for the musicians to look up, and for Ruth to call up on the screen. The Lord's my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, the psalmist could say. Why? Because he deserved it. Because he had done something for it, to earn it. No, but because the Lord had granted it to him. It's goodness and mercy come from our God. Call on him and know that mercy. Along with that mercy comes all these other great words. His love, his grace, the removal of wrath, the forgiveness of our sins. Goodness and mercy, ours to enjoy all the days of our life. Let's stand and sing together this lovely version of the 23rd Psalm.
Trust in you.
And the last time we sang that lovely 23rd Psalm was just on Thursday past at Margaret Martin's funeral. We sang three of her favourite hymns, Amazing Grace, The Old Rugged Cross, and we closed off with that modern version of the 23rd Psalm. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And she was led home last Tuesday morning. So that's the last time we sang that. Let's just have a word of prayer together. Lord, we do thank you as we come into your presence this evening. We thank you for these pieces that have been well put together for the theme of mercy. And we often think of mercy and grace, and as someone has very simply defined the two, that grace is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And we thank you that you are a God of grace. You give us what we don't deserve. You are a God of mercy. You don't give us what we do deserve. And O God, we pray that as we dwell upon these things tonight, it will give us much to think about. It will challenge our hearts. And we thank you for another opportunity to hear your word. We don't take any of these things for granted. We know that there are Christians in other countries of the world tonight who have to meet in secret, who do not have access even to your word or to Christian literature. And we do pray for them tonight, that you will bless them and the likes of organizations that work in different countries. We pray that you will bless each one as they seek to be of practical help. And so, Lord, we just look to you and pray that you'll bless us this hour. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Let's turn for our Bible reading to Matthew chapter 18. And we're looking at the fifth beatitude tonight, Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy or receive mercy. But just to illustrate that, the Lord Jesus told a parable, the parable of the unforgiving servant, or some additions might say the unmerciful, one who showed no mercy, yet mercy was shown to him, but he in turn did not show mercy. And Jesus tells this parable, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that was a lot of money in those days. 10,000 talents. I have read the equivalent that it could be millions. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a very small amount compared to what he had owed the king. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. and he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. And a warm welcome to church tonight. Let me just leave you with the following announcements. 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, the prayer meeting and the Bible study. And we're in the book of Philippians. Hope to finish chapter 3 on Tuesday night. Only one more chapter left after that. It's the final kids' club on Wednesday night until they resume again in September or so. And on the sheets for the ladies outlining the programs from September until the end, Carol had down a spring clean in the kitchen for this Wednesday night, but just forget about that. We will reschedule that at a later time. Next Sunday then at 10:15, the Sunday school and the Bible class, and our services 11:30 and 6:30, when I will be here, DV, time of prayer 6:10, and the Pathfinders will be at 8 o'clock. So these are all the announcements. Keep them in your prayers and seek to attend these things. We'll bring to the Lord then our offerings. Thank you. And Lord, we thank you for what has been played, reminding us again of the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There are many uncertainties in life. We cannot boast about tomorrow, for we do not know today brings forth. But we know that if we live through tomorrow, that we shall be followed. We shall be followed by your goodness, and we shall be followed by your mercy. They follow us all the days of our lives, right to the end of life. And goodness and mercy will lead us home. For I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you for this great assurance that we can have. And we pray that you will bless those in our service and those listening into our service who have this assurance that Jesus belongs to them and they belong to him. And we thank you for this relationship that they have. But there are those who do not yet know the Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to strive with them and wear down their resistance until they give in to you and trust you as their Savior. May they get their eyes off people, and may they get their eyes on the Lord, the one who is perfect, the one who is never wrong, the one who never does anything wrong. And so, Lord, bless your word tonight that goes forth, we pray. Lord, we think of what is happening around the world. In this past week or two, news has been dominated by what is happening in North Korea and their military threat. And, oh God, we just pray that you will just intervene. And we just look to you. We don't look to any military power that might be a threat to North Korea. We don't look to Britain or to America or to anyone else, oh God. We look to you. And we know that you're able to intervene. And so, Lord, there is much to cause concern in this world, and people's hearts can be filled with fear. And we thank you, God, that we can know you and know your peace that passes all understanding. So, Lord, we just look to you and pray that we shall know your blessing in these days. For Jesus' sake, we ask these things. Amen. And we're at hymn 683. 683, there's wideness. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty.
Thank you.
Now we're into the fifth chapter of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, and when Jesus says in verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy," this is the first mention of the word merciful in the New Testament. It is the first mention of the word mercy in the New Testament. It happens plenty of times after this, but this is the first mention. And the Lord Jesus is outlining at the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount what is known as the Beatitudes, or someone has called them the beautiful attitudes of Christian character. And we are not to pick and choose. We are to see these things as one. And they're all parts of the one thing of Christian character. And one has said the Beatitudes are not a map showing us the way to be saved, but a mirror reflecting the character of those who are already saved. The Beatitudes are not a series of exhortations. They are an exhibition, a portrait gallery of what a genuine Christian is like. This particular Beatitude would be often lifted out of its context, along with maybe different scriptures. Those who show mercy, as we'll see in a moment or two, who are not necessarily Christians, but are philanthropists who would show kindness and goodness to their fellow man, it would be said of them, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Those who seek to make peace, there are those who are flying about the world tonight, seeking to strike a peace deal with the different lands, and written above them is Matthew 5 and verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The same people may have no interest in God whatsoever. They just want to see peace in the world. And so we can see that you just can't pick and choose. You can't look at this beatitude and say, "Oh yes, I can show mercy. That's what I want to do. But I don't feel that I want to be poor in spirit. I don't want to mourn. I don't want to hunger and thirst in a spiritual way." And so you just can't pick and choose here what you want to do. This is all part of the one thing. Because blessed are the merciful, are those who are poor in spirit, who feel poor in spirit. And theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are merciful will be those who mourn over their own sin, over the sins of others, the sins that they see in society. It'll break their heart. And they'll want to do something about it. Those who are merciful will be those who are meek. Those who will just quietly get on with it, but yet they're firm, they're strong. Those who are merciful will be those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And they're satisfied. So it's character descriptions that we see here. And just two things that we can see in this beatitude. We see your giving. Blessed are the merciful, and you're getting, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are those who show mercy, for they shall know mercy in their heart and life. So blessed are the merciful. These people who are poor in spirit, who mourn over sin, who are meek, who hunger and thirst. And one has said the Christian is conscious more than anyone else of the plight of the world in which behind men's physical and moral troubles he sees their spiritual ruin. There are great organizations tonight in the world. There's great work going on in the world. Just about a month ago or so on television, there was comic relief. Now, I didn't see it, but I'm well aware of the work that they would do, and some of those celebrities would go into the slums of Africa and would do a great work, and they give of their time, and they give money to try and bring some relief. But they don't see people's sins. They just see man's inhumanity to man. They see corruption. They see rich and poor. And they will fight on those issues. But they're not interested in sin, in their own sin, in the sins of others, that many a person's troubles is because of their sin. And if they were forgiven of their sins, things might be different. So the Christian is conscious more than anyone else of the plight of the world in which, behind men's physical and moral troubles, he sees their spiritual ruin. Blessed are the merciful, those who show mercy. They're blessed of God. They know happiness. They know a satisfaction in doing what they do, in giving of their lives, in giving of their time. Blessed are the merciful. What does it mean here? It means the pity of compassion which one has for the needs or sufferings of others. It means deep inner feelings of affection, compassion, pity, and love. It means not only of feelings, but of action. It describes those who take active steps to help others by whose misery they have been moved. Now, those are the different definitions of mercy. And you can see that it's leading on to something else. We can have feelings about the poor. We can have deep inner feelings. But this here, blessed are the merciful, is talking about those who put feet to their feelings. They get out and do something. Not only of feelings, but of action. It describes those who take active steps to help others by whose misery they have been moved. We're talking here about practical Christianity. If there is someone that you know, and it's not just about going off to an African country or anything like that, even if there is someone around here, someone where you live, where there is a need, and you're quietly helping them in their need. Practical Christianity. As one has put it, it's the kind of person strong on the nouns of the Christian faith, but weak on the verbs. There's plenty who will talk about it, but they'll not do anything about it. A noun is a person, place, or thing in English, a language, is it? But a verb is a doing word. And so are we strong on the nouns, but yet weak on the verbs? Doing something about it. giving. And those who ought to be giving more than anybody else are those who are Christians, because this is Christian characteristics that Jesus is outlining here. This is the life of a Christian. Blessed are the merciful. Because Colossians 3 verse 12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. James 2 verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So we just are not to talk about our faith. We have to show our faith. We have to show that we have got faith by our works. And John writes very challenging words in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. There can be plenty of talk about things, but we have to put the walk to the talk. We have to walk the talk. There's the great evangelical revival of the 18th century and 19th centuries. It gave birth to prison reform, to the prohibition of the slave trade, to the factory acts, to the protection of children, to the crusade against cruelty to animals. And putting names to these movements, you have the 7th Earl of Shaftesbury, Elizabeth Fry, William Wilberforce, Thomas Bernardo, Jean Henry Dunant, the founding father of the Red Cross. These were all Christian people. These were all Christian people. Above them can be written the fifth beatitude, Matthew 5 and 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And all of this practical Christianity is done in the light of the cross. I read 1 John 3, 17 and 18, but verse 16 says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need and so on, it's done in the light of the cross. How do you live in the light of the cross? We saw this morning from Luke chapter 18, the sufferings of Christ before he was even on the cross. How he was spat upon, how he was punched and thumped and slapped and all the rest of it. And if he went through that for us, then we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. To go as far as that? Are you willing for your Christian life to go as far as that? In some countries of the world tonight, there's a high risk of that. Here where we live, there's a very low risk of that. But in other countries, it's a very high risk. In countries where communism still has sway, where Islam has sway, where there is great persecution, if you change to any religion outside of Islam, there is the death penalty, let alone changing to Christianity. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So as we give mercy, we get mercy. For they shall receive mercy. And one has said, nothing moves as to forgive like the wondering knowledge that we have ourselves been forgiven. Nothing proves more clearly that we have been forgiven than our own readiness to forgive. To forgive and to be forgiven, to show mercy and to receive mercy, these belong indissolubly together. As we have it in the words of Colossians 3 and verse 13, where Paul says, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So Christians are to forgive. And the background of that and the source of that is because you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. As the Lord has forgiven you from heaven, so you ought to forgive to others on earth, in this life. Those who have done you wrong. Now, I know it's not easy to do. It's easy to hold grudges. It's easy not to speak to a person for years and all the rest of it because of some, maybe a disagreement a long, long time ago, maybe over nothing, maybe over something trivial. But how does that match up with your Christian profession? In the light of these words of Colossians 3:13, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Think maybe of what you were like before you were saved. Did you deserve the Lord's forgiveness? Maybe you were an awful character. But the Lord has forgiven you, and you know you have received that mercy. And because of that, then you also must forgive. You also must show mercy. If you know mercy, then you have to show mercy. And when we think of mercy, blessed are the merciful, showing mercy, for they shall receive mercy. They shall receive mercy from God, first of all. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Because God is described in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 as the Father of mercies. It is one of the character descriptions of God. It is one of his attributes. We talk about the attributes of God. I'm hoping after Philippians maybe to do a series on the attributes of God. And one of them is the mercy of God. He is a God of mercy. And we can see another wee sermon outline in here that the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, mentions mercy many, many times. And it's easy to build up a picture. There is common mercy. We all today have experienced mercy from God, whether you're saved or not. Whether you're saved or not. You've had food on the table 3 times today. Maybe twice, and you're going home to put it on the table for the 3rd time. Mercy. Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all. And his mercy is over all that he has made. In every country of the world, there are those today who have experienced his common mercy. Many people have no thought of God, don't even believe in God. They don't give a thought of where all of this comes from. And yet they're enjoying the comforts of their home, and they're enjoying plenty of food and all the rest of it. It is mercy from God. And that's why we are to thank him for his mercy. So there is common mercy. And that is in all the world. That is directed towards saved and unsaved, because the Sermon on the Mount goes on to say that the Lord causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. He causes the sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. The unjust. Those who go off on their holidays, those who are sun worshippers, who lie on the beach, they just spend a fortnight lying on the beach in Tenerife or whatever to get a tan. They have no thought of God, maybe. But they're lying there experiencing the mercy of God in sunshine. Common mercy is over all the world. Common mercy is for this world's history, from beginning to end. Common mercy. But there is ceaseless mercy. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We wakened up this morning to mercies from God. Did you thank him for mercies? We'll waken up tomorrow morning and we'll again experience mercies from God. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies never come to an end. Those who will spend eternity in God, with God, we shall fully appreciate his attributes, all about him, and we shall appreciate more than what we do in this life that he is a God of mercy. And one has said, divine mercy flows from a spring that no creature can measure or contain or comprehend. It is endless, exhaustless, stretching to the highest heavens and beyond, and as far as his creatures are concerned, new every morning. So there is common mercy, and which everybody knows, saved and unsaved. There is ceaseless mercy. His mercies never come to an end. But there is a mercy that Christians know, and that is converting mercy. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now those who are not Christians do not know that mercy. They experience and they enjoy, whether they are conscious of it or not, common mercy. Because God's mercies are over all his works. But it's the Christian who, as well as knowing this common mercy that's in the world, knows converting mercy. But God being rich in mercy. Titus tells us it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Blessed are the merciful. You give it. And the reward is that you shall receive mercy. You'll get it. You show mercy because you know mercy. Because God is so generous. And we say in the words of Jacob in Genesis 32 and verse 10, where he says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. And there is Jacob. He has left home. His brother has threatened to kill him. He's on his way to his uncle Laban's at his mother Rebecca's prompting. He does know what the future holds. And he says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of God. And we all can say that. Blessed are the merciful. Yes, you, I have no doubt, are a merciful person. Everyone here, if you were asked, if anybody asked you to do something for them or to help them, you'd have no problems with that. You would go out of your way. You would go the second mile. But is it done from a motive that you have received mercy? That you know the mercy of God in your heart. That you know forgiveness of sins. And of course, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, as well as showing merciful or mercy to others. Then others can show you mercy. It comes back to you. God's blessings come back to you when you give. Then you shall receive. So there's plenty to think about in this fifth beatitude, isn't there? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You're giving and you're getting. Let's sing in closing, number 697, Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride. And the chorus is, mercy there was great, and grace, there's mercy and grace together, was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Vanity and pride, bearing all my love to see.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority, before all time, and now and forever. Amen.